It's been, folks, you know, and for all of you, I'm sure it's been exhausting as well, but it's the end of May, and I sort of feel like the third week of September.
Right.
I mean, I'm not sure really where I am here, but it has been something to say the least. Part of that's in Washington, where it's been sport. We had a good conversation today. This is the gentleman in, it's sort of like Western Mass, in between either Chicago Cubs and the Milwaukee Brewers.
Really?
The border of Wisconsin. James. Yep. Paul Ryan country.
Yeah.
And this guy was an aide for Paul Ryan. He's taken over with a nice 60% vote last time. His name is Brian Steele. We had a nice conversation. Jack Fitzpatrick's going to clear the air here after our conversation with a Republican from Janesville, Wisconsin. Jack Fitzpatrick, Brian Steele has a real knowledge of how speakers can mess things up. Boehner, Paul Ryan, his guy. And now Kevin McCarthy under inordinate pressure. How's the speaker doing?
The speaker is getting, I think, a small win, which is a good thing for him, rather than absolutely swinging for the fences and failing. I think that the big takeaway from the speaker's management of the situation here is they're not getting a ton out of this debt limit deal, but they are getting something. And by taking the big stuff off the table and not trying to negotiate something on Social Security or Medicare or something politically dicey,
right.
McCarthy tried to hit an RBI single. And he's basically managed to do that, assuming he gets the votes here. It leaves some questions on the table about what comes next, what else do conservatives want in future standoffs. But it's sort of a bit of a step forward for Republicans.
It's a step forward, but then do they wait for the election of 2024, or can a narrow majority GOP in the House be productive before that election far away?
It would be tough for them to be very productive. This sets the stage for a government funding package. That's one of the few other things that you're going to see out of a divided government, probably. So they've got the debt limit deadline that they, you know, they're putting spending caps in. They can call that a minor win. When it's time to fund the government under these, maybe they can find some other policies they like. They've got the farm bill coming up. I don't know how much they can get out of that they haven't already gotten, because they've gotten into the SNAP nutrition aid work requirements that would usually be negotiated. But that's another must-pass bill. So they've got a couple opportunities to legislate. But outside of this government funding and the farm bill, there's not a ton that they can do until that next debt limit deadline, and really until we see what happens with the 2024 elections.
Jack, yesterday afternoon, there was a lot of rhetoric from some of the members of the far right side of the Republican Party against the speaker, maybe even someone calling for him to step down. Was that just rhetoric, or does the speaker, in fact, have some growing problems with some of the more conservative parts of his party?
He may have a problem. He clearly has a problem with some of them, but I don't know that it's growing just yet. There was one member, Dan Bishop from North Carolina, Freedom Caucus member, who said outright he would like a vote on the motion to vacate, essentially to kick the speaker out of his role. Other Freedom Caucus members didn't even do that. There were only 11 Freedom Caucus members at this press conference yesterday complaining about the bill. That's less than a third of the Freedom Caucus. And some of them were going out of their way to try to kind of cast the blame on President Biden or Democrats, even as they were complaining about this bill, to not complain about McCarthy. So it only takes a single member to force a vote on the status of the speaker, but there's not a huge contingent yet of conservatives who want to go after McCarthy himself.
How about on the other side of the aisle? How is the support within the Democratic Party, within the administration, for this tentative deal?
They face fewer questions about a political backlash right now. There are complaints, pretty broad complaints, from progressives, even sort of leadership aligned progressives. But in the House, the onus is on Republicans to put up more votes. So they are kind of struggling to figure out exactly where the votes come from in both parties. But there's not an equivalent, you know, question of whether there's a motion to vacate the chair on the Democratic side. There's some grumbling but it's not exactly a revolt against Democratic leadership.
So, Jack, in 2 years, you know, I'm sure Tom will be on a beach somewhere in the Mediterranean kicking back.
I was thinking New Jersey.
Jersey. But are we going to be right back here with the same type of negotiation, a lot of the same issues in 2 years?
I'm not sure we could face the same exact issues in 2 years. For one, it'll be dictated by the results of the election. So this fight over the debt limit was a big one because we were coming into a divided government after Democrats had had their say for a couple of years. Two, they as I mentioned, they backed off the big questions about Social Security, Medicare, the larger portion of the federal budget. Now Speaker McCarthy is just saying this morning he wants to create a commission, a bipartisan commission, to get into other questions about spending. He was a little vague on that. But there are a lot of conservative members who might want to take a different approach. I don't know how they get into it. I'm not predicting a major Social Security negotiation or something like that. But you can only play small ball so much. So they'll probably face different questions, and it could be a different political lay of the land 2 years from now. It's hard to predict, but I don't think you can look at that and say it's going to play out in exactly the same way.
Jack, thank you. Jack Fitzpatrick, a lot of clarity there with Bloomberg government here.